Well, praise God. Appreciate hearing the choir. Appreciate Danny having that burden. Well, praise the Lord. I'm just going to try to share some thoughts that have come to me this week, and they, as so often is the case, they come from something you go through, something experiential. But if our faith is not related to the things that happen in our lives, what is it? It's just a bunch of theory, isn't it? And the Lord is so faithful to take us down the path that He's designed for us and to teach us along the way if we'll have ears to hear and a heart to listen. And I want to have that, don't you? And earlier in the week, you know, many times you come through a Sunday, particularly in my position, you put forth a lot of effort and you're engaged in it, and then it's done and you kind of sit back and coast a little bit. And you know, the devil has a way of taking advantage of that if we're not careful. There are times, you know, you see cases in the Scripture where an army would fight a battle and then they win a great victory and they have a celebration and all of a sudden they'd be in a weak place and they get defeated. Well, anyway, I just felt like I got in a place where I was feeling, and nobody else knew anything about this, to my knowledge at least, just something very personal, very private, and I felt like a weakness was getting a hold of me and just the devil was oppressing. And I didn't have any feelings, didn't feel any strength, and didn't handle it as well as I should have. And, you know, I felt like I knew the Lord was around. I knew He was faithful because, I know He is. There's a certain faith that He implants. But still, there's times you go through dry times of attack. And I know, you know, any of you who have served the Lord any length of time, you know what I'm talking about. We go through all kinds of circumstances, and sometimes they're pleasant. You know, we sing the hymn, He Leads Us Along. Sometimes it's through pleasant pastures. Sometimes it's through very dark places. But God knows how to lead us. He knows where He's taking us. He knows what it takes to get there, doesn't He? And so, anyway, I kind of came through that and just kind of pushed through. And then a phrase kept coming to me. And it's from a very familiar passage in Ephesians 6. You know, the passage about warfare. And the phrase was the evil day. Now, in the new NIV, it's the day of evil, but a lot of translations, several translations have it the evil day, and that makes a simpler title, doesn't it? But you know, I think I have probably tended to see the evil day in more of a big picture kind of thing. It's easy to do that. You think of the day in which we live, and oh, there's an evil day coming, and God's going to, you know, wants us to stand and wants us to be ready to stand, and that's true enough. But I began to see the evil day as something that could be anywhere from deeply personal, such as what I went through, to, you know, a bigger experience. I mean, it can happen at every level, basically. What you're talking about is an incident or something that happens where the Lord allows Satan to attack, to work, allows him to have a certain amount of influence. And, you know, he desires that we handle it. And God knows that. He permits it, doesn't He? Now, you know, we have the two specific examples in Scripture of how Satan had to get permission, didn't he? We know God's on the throne. We know He has known from the beginning everything that was going to happen. And God has had a way of weaving together the moral choices of men and devils, men and angels, I guess they were, and bringing them together into a plan to bring a family together for eternity, things we said many times. And God knows what's happening. But the devil has no power against God's power. If something happens that the devil is allowed to do, it's because God allowed it and God has a purpose. And the two specific examples we have in Scripture are Job, certainly one of them, and we have the scene where the devil actually is allowed to come before the Lord, and the Lord is the one who brings up Job. It wasn't like the devil said, hey, there's this guy down, I'd like to get to him, let me at him. The Lord brought him up, which means to me the Lord had a purpose in that. He had somewhere where he was going. He allowed the devil to do what he did, but God had a purpose to take Job to a better place. That's a good thing to remember, isn't it? Whatever God allows in our lives is designed to ultimately bless and bring us to a better, stronger place, even when it involves failure. That's a good thing to remember, isn't it? Because we don't tend to remember those things when we're in the middle of them. But oh, I tell you, we've got an awesome, faithful God. Anyway, so the devil says, oh yeah, you put a hedge around him, you won't let me near him. So the Lord says, go ahead and touch him, or touch everything around him, leave him alone, and you know, we know how it unfolded. Ultimately, the devil accused Job and said, basically, he's only serving you because you blessed him, you protected him, and you let me at him physically, and boy, he will curse you. And Job went through hell, didn't he? And of course, he didn't get any help from his supposed friends. They were giving out their standard theology that they'd learned in seminary. You know, their traditional knowledge of God, and they brought out all the stuff that the textbook said how it's supposed to be, and they said there's no way that you could be experiencing these things if God wasn't judging you. If you hadn't sinned, you'd be doing great. Very simplistic view of life. My God, if something bad, difficult happens to you, does that mean you've sinned and God's punishing you? See, that's something we need to recognize. We need to learn. Yeah, God can allow us to go through things, but I'll tell you, always when it comes to His people, His plan is redemptive. It's to lift up. It's to bring us to an ultimate end that He has foreseen and determined. My God, what a faithful, merciful God we have. Thank God. I mean, how many times have we come through times when we have really not done very well, if we're going to be honest, and yet we come out the other end and realize God hasn't thrown us in the trash? What an awesome, amazing God this is, that He could put up with somebody like us and love us anyway and still want to bring us through. Sometimes the thing we need to experience is the failure itself. And you know, the other prime example we have, and these things we've heard many times, but I just felt like there's something fresh that the Lord wanted to say to me, certainly. If you can listen, you're welcome to listen in if you want, but anyway, obviously the other example is Peter. When Jesus said specifically, Satan has asked that he might sift you as wheat. I don't have any doubt that Satan was aware of Peter's zeal, Peter's self-confidence. He saw weaknesses in Peter. And he felt like, boy, this is the leader. If I can take him down, man, I'm going to do a whole lot of damage. And this whole kingdom thing, it's not going anywhere. And so the Lord allowed that. But even there, did he not say, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not? Isn't that an awesome thing to realize that in our weakest moment, we have somebody in heaven praying for, not against us, praying for us. Man, do I need that. Oh, praise God for someone who sees past the weaknesses and the difficulties of the moment, the battles of the moment, and is able to look past all of that and see that there's a purpose and see a purpose in it. Now, the devil's purpose, obviously, was to tear down what Jesus was building and to tear down the leader among these disciples, not just to take Jesus into the grave, but let's make sure this thing is gone. I'm going to take Peter down. And the Lord even warned Peter, you need to pray. You know, your spirit's willing, but your flesh is weak. You don't know what you're up against. How many of you have been in that place? You knew what you ought to do, but you come time to do it, your nature just kind of cried out and wouldn't let you. Kind of what Paul experienced in Romans 7 when he thought that he could serve God by his own zeal and strength. And the Lord showed him that's not what salvation is about. I'm so thankful that, you know, he can bring us to that place. But sometimes we have to learn the hard way. I suspect every person here has had to learn something the hard way. And cheer up, if you haven't, you will. But you know what God's purpose was in this? First of all, it was to teach Peter the truth about himself. Something we need to learn. If we don't reckon on our own need, if we don't understand our own need, do we really understand salvation? See, the knowledge of our need brings us to a place where we can truly understand and appreciate what the Lord has done for us and the His willingness to help us in spite of the depth of that need. Praise God. And so Peter was allowed to go through something, but isn't it interesting how Jesus framed this whole situation? We knew what the devil was trying to do. But Jesus said, when you're converted, when you're changed, when you know what I brought you through produces the result that we want, strengthen your brothers. Everything is redemptive. Everything that Peter became as a minister, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, the leader of certainly among the apostles, the one who stood up so boldly on the day of Pentecost just a few weeks later, the one who preached at the temple shortly after that when they healed the lame man, and all the things that they went through, and then the writer of the gospel, of the letters, 1st and 2nd Peter, the message that he puts forth is certainly not one of self-confidence, is it? He learned, didn't he? He learned and he humbled himself to that truth. Wasn't he the one who wrote, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and he will lift you up at the proper time? Well, the Lord did that, didn't he? He knew that from experience. You know, I see what the Lord is seeking to do in a fresh way, I guess. It's nothing new. But like I say, if our salvation and our understanding of truth and the Bible truth is simply head knowledge, we haven't got much. And you talk about the evil day coming. And it's coming in one form or another, whether it's on that small scale like I experienced this week, or whether it's something larger, or whether it's the whole world. And we're going to see that. God wants a people who are ready and prepared to stand. And I pray that God will help every one of us to begin to see in a deeper way what the Lord is doing in a day-to-day way in our lives. That there really actually is a reason. There really is a purpose in the things that we experience and go through. And oh, how the devil loves to interpret every negative thing in a way that is totally contrary to God's purpose. I just pray for God's grace to stop listening. He will accuse, he will do everything in his power to frame what happens to us in the most negative way possible, to discourage, to do everything he can to turn us aside, to even accuse God. You've been trusting in him, and look how he's treating you. But oh, I'll tell you what, God has a purpose. There's something that's very real about our having to live in this world. It's very significant, I guess is a better word. If God's purpose were simply to gather a people and say, do you want to serve me? Do you want to give me your life? Just hand it over to him, and boom, he takes you out of the world, and we sit in a place of bliss and go to seminars every day and learn all about it. But God is producing his family in the context of a world that is absolutely opposed to God in every possible way. I don't care what things look like. This world, as we well know, is in rebellion against God. It is a prison planet. And people have no power in themselves to escape this, even if they wanted to, which they don't. This is the context in which God is building his family. And it's bad enough to have to live in a place where you're among evil people and an evil system. The problem is, it's in here. We're still living in bodies that are in harmony with the world and the devil. And so God's plan is to give us a brand new heart and a new life, but we're going to have to overcome and make choices to follow him and not the old nature. And so everything the Lord, every battle that the Lord brings us through is designed to begin to teach us to make the right choices. You know, there's a scripture. I'll just refer to it, quote it as best I can. It's in Psalm 45, but it's quoted in Hebrews chapter 1, where the Son of God, ultimately, the Spirit, the, you know, what David wrote, I believe, had a reference to him in one sense, but in a larger sense, it was about the Son of God. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Okay? And it, but what drew me to that scripture was that you loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness, something to that effect. Anyway, there was very much a connection between what God was seeking, someone who would absolutely have a choice. Did he not have a choice? Was he not tempted in every point just as we are? But he made the right choice in every instance. He yielded to his Father. He made the choice to hate what was wrong, to choose what was right. That's what God is seeking for every one of us. And so we are going to be put in situations where every part of us will be tested. That sounds scary, doesn't it? But was Jesus not tested? Is he not called the tested stone? And there he's now he's become the cornerstone, and we're part of a building that's built on him. You see, what God is doing, he's building a family. And you and I are going to have battles. Notice in this passage in Ephesians 6, it doesn't say, if the evil day comes. It says, when the evil day comes. Folks, it's coming. It may well come in the form that it came to me this week. Am I the only one? Yeah, I know I'm not. That's why the Lord allowed me to experience this. Because, folks, we are going to have to learn to make choices. If we're going to stand on a day when the devil has been allowed to take over the world system and seemingly succeed in building his world empire, and here some of us are still going to be here having to stand in that hour, we better have some experience under our belt. You don't just go to seminar after seminar after seminar and suddenly you step out into the arena and you're ready for that. And of course, the examples we've seen and used so many times, David was a man after God's own heart. He needed a lot of training, didn't he? Because the Lord knew he was going to have some serious conflicts in his life. There were a lot of enemies that needed to be defeated. And you remember how he was sent by his dad to take food to his brothers who were engaged in the conflict with the Philistines? And he gets there and he discovers this giant named Goliath. Still had giants in the world in those days. And they had a system, I guess, where to avoid general bloodshed, they would issue a challenge. Let's bring this war down to one-on-one, and whoever wins, that decides the battle. Well, you know, they sent this giant out. And by every natural measurement, Israel was in a world of hurt. They didn't have anybody to send out. And so David shows up and said, looks at that and says, what's the problem? Now, how could a young man like that say such a thing? You know, he's pictured as a boy. I suspect he was an older teenager, I'm guessing. But whatever it was, he was somebody whose life had been it revolved around keeping sheep out in the meadow. Now, how is that a way to learn how to fight a battle such as the one he faced? Well, in the first place, God allowed two things that he mentions specifically to happen to him. And one of them was a bear. A bear got hungry. I wonder how the bear got hungry like that. I wonder what was behind that. You know, the things that happen in this world, we see the physical, we see the natural, we see the government, we see bad people. We need to see where it's really coming from. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood. The scripture that, the passage that we started with, didn't actually read it, but you remember it. So, but here's David, Somehow he recognizes, number one, I'm responsible. Number two, I've spent a lot of my time out here worshiping God. I'm going to do what needs to be done. And somehow God gave him the faith to take on that bear and win. And the Lord says, that's great. That's what I'm looking for. I'm going to train this guy. But he needs another lesson. You think any of us ever need another lesson? Let the lesson sink in a little deeper and become a little more real. So the Lord allowed a lion. Okay, a bear is one thing, but a lion? Seriously? But he did the same thing. The Lord gave him the victory. But you know, there was another factor that came into play that was at the heart of the battle that he fought on that day. And it was this. This challenge that has come is not against us. He's challenged God. This is a bigger battle than just men fighting, nations fighting. This is against God. And so this is the Lord's battle. And so when he went into the battle, you know, Saul wanted to said, okay, I'll let you go, but here's my armor. You're going to have... Saul had a natural idea about how battles are fought and won. Folks, if you and I are relying on natural means to try to deal with life, the Lord's going to have to show us that's not where the battle's at. Because what Satan desires to accomplish cannot be defeated with human wisdom and human energy and human anything. And here's the other thing that we need to recognize, and the devil will do everything in his power to undermine this, is that when the devil comes against you and me, his assault is not just against us, it's against the Lord himself. Because when there is a relationship, when we are truly born into that kingdom and his spirit comes to live on the inside, there is a living connection that is formed. We are not just scattered people here and there that all have this private relationship. But there is a relationship where we become a part of him. Did not Paul say that he's the head and he did everything for the body, which is the fullness of him, the rest of him? There is a living connection. What did the Lord say to Saul when he was traveling to Damascus to persecute Christians? Why are you persecuting me? Didn't say my followers. Why are you persecuting me? The Lord saw what the real battle was about. Wouldn't it be good if we did? That when something comes against us, even if it's just a private attack and an oppression, a circumstance, whatever it is in our lives, and we discern it, we have enough discernment to say, Satan is behind this. The devil will do everything in his power to separate you in your mind from God. But this is an attack upon Jesus, with whom we have been connected. That makes it his battle. Ooh, does that make a difference? You think that makes a difference? See, that's what this thing is about. And David, with his experience and with his knowledge of God and all the singing and worshiping that he'd done, he'd gotten to know the Lord in a special way. He recognized what was really going on. He said, the battle is the Lord's. And I don't need man's stuff and man's methods to fight this battle. I'm going out there and use what I got. But I'm trusting God, and God made the difference. Folks, that's the kind of heart that we need to have in every battle that we fight, and you will fight them. If you haven't fought them yesterday, you will today or tomorrow. The Lord knows when we need a time of rest, and the Lord knows when we need a time of battle. I'll tell you, the Lord allows the devil to do so many things. You remember what Jesus said, I think everything I'm saying this morning we've said 1,000 times, but that's all right. When Jesus was being arrested, he said, now He said, this is your hour. Talking to the evil people who were doing what they were doing, believing they were serving God. Talk about delusion. This is your hour when darkness reigns. Think about that. Think about how the Lord allows Satan to literally have some influence and be able to exert his influence upon people and situations. You see where the world is going, right? You see where the Lord's going to take his hands off in the sense that he's allowing Satan to pursue his dream? You see what happened in Noah's day? The Lord worked with men, but there came a time when he took his hands off and allowed Satan to basically rule humanity and bring them to a place where there was no more capacity in most people for God. Did God take care of his own? He sure did. And he's going to do it right to the end of the age. And you see, even though Lot was not exactly an exemplary follower of God, was he? He wasn't exactly your super spiritual guy. But in his heart, he had enough of a knowledge of God to stand against what was wrong and to say, I'm not going along with that. And so the Lord came to Sodom and saw that the condition was such that people had made so many moral choices to embrace evil, they had lost the capacity to choose him. And so God brought Lot out of Sodom and destroyed it. And in a sense, both Lot and Noah had to stand, didn't they? They had to make a moral choice, a spiritual choice to say, I'm going to serve God. I don't care what the rest of the world does. I'm with him. Folks, that is what God is building in every single one of us. Every single battle that comes. Oh, I'll tell you, God has so many awesome things that he wants to do for us if we will only learn to make the little choices and to see not just, oh, the evil day is some big event, but to see the little events that happen in your life, some of which nobody else knows about but you and God. To see them as God allowing Satan to tempt, to test, to pressure, whatever form it takes. He's going to pull on your nature. He's going to appeal to your nature in some fashion and attack you. And God wants to build a people who know how to stand in the middle of that. Man, I need it. But you see where God's going with this. I'll get to some of the rest of it in a minute. But Jehoshaphat was a king who sought to serve God, at least in a great measure. Was a king over Judah, the southern kingdom, after the kingdom split. Was a godly king. And yet one day, all of a sudden, he gets word that there is an army, and if I remember, it was something like 1 million strong, that's marching our way, and they mean to do business. They mean to take us down and tear us apart and basically dismantle us. He didn't go looking for that. There was nothing he could say, well, I did this and he recognized this is just something that has come against God himself and his promises to us. And so the devil's aim in every bit of this was to take him down, to conquer the nation that God had blessed, pick on their weaknesses, do whatever he could to take them down. And so they went to the Lord. And they lifted him up. They lifted up his promises. They worshiped him. They said, oh God, we didn't go looking for this. But think about what you promised us, and now our eyes are upon you. We don't know what to do. You ever been in that place? That's a good place to be. Because we don't always know what to do. In fact, most of the time we don't, really. That's a lot of what the Lord is looking for when we get in situations, because there's no cookie-cutter answer. You don't go to a book of theology and say, in this circumstance, aha, there's the answer. There's the formula. God has a purpose and a way to work out every situation. Jesus never healed people the same way twice. Well, maybe some of them, but you know what I'm saying. He healed people all kinds of different ways, different circumstances. But here, God answered the prayer and said, you're not even going to have to fight in this battle. Well, there were other battles that Israel had to fight. And there were huge, there was a huge carnage. Sometimes hundreds of thousands of soldiers that died in some of the wars of that era. So this one, you're not even going to have to fight. You talk about the choir? They sent the choir out ahead of the army. I hope the choir had plenty of faith. You know, you think about the literal situation. There's a million-man army out there, and the soldiers are behind us, and we're going to get in between here. We're going to march out and sing. Well, of course, it worked pretty good at Jericho, didn't it? But anyway, they marched out, and they sang praises to God, and God just absolutely turned everyone against each other. You remember how it all turned out. And where the Lord, or where the devil meant to take them down, the Lord gave them so much plunder out of it. It took 3 days to gather what they had left behind. So here's the devil looking to do some damage, and God turns it into a rich blessing. Folks, if we will learn to trust God in every circumstance, in every battle, no matter how hard it is at the time, we're going to discover God bringing us into a better place. Not just getting back to, okay, but a better place. God longs for us to have more, to be more, to get more experience under our belt, to be stronger in Him. And how can we be ready for the evil day if we can't even handle our little evil days? See, we're in the lion and bear stage here. I think most of us. But I'll tell you, and some of us are in the Peter stage. We're still trying to unlearn our, you know, what we think of ourselves and learn to really see ourselves through God's eyes. But it's not God's eyes of condemnation, look at you, you weakling. It's God's eyes saying, I know what sin has done. I know your need. And I'm not basing anything I'm doing for you on anything other than that I love you. And I have a plan if you just give yourself to me and humble yourself in my hands. I have the power to bring you out. I'm not looking down on you because you're weak. I love you, and that the weakness in you causes my heart to want to reach down and lift you up and bring you into a better place if you just let me. I'm going to let him, don't you? Oh, God, help every single one of us. Like I say, you can go through the scriptures and Jesus himself. You know, the evil day certainly hit him. The evil day of all days. But yet look what God has brought out of it. When he made the choice to go to that cross and say, I will honor him. I will lay down my life if that's what it takes to fulfill his purpose. Isn't that what he called us to do? To lay down our lives and to give them, if maybe not specific, not literally. I don't think anybody here is likely to be nailed to a literal cross, but who knows? But I'll tell you, whatever God calls us to do, and to come through, God is going to bring us through it. So praise God. Those are some of the thoughts that I had. Anyway, let's just go ahead and read that passage very quickly, because it's very familiar to us in Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Whose mighty power? Yeah. Put on the full armor of God, not just part of it, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So it isn't just power on power that the devil employs. A lot of times he comes in under the guise of something else. He's going to find any opening that he can possibly find into your life and mine. Do we have weaknesses he can exploit? Yeah. And the Lord's going to allow him to come at us through those weak places so that we will learn that we have them and we will learn to bring them to Him, to the cross, and trust God and learn how to fight that particular battle. And boy, as we do, we're going to grow. We're going to have experience. Like Paul says, all these things give us perseverance, don't they? Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. And nobody's going to come to the end and say, what a fool I was to hope in God. Look what it got me. Man, we're going to be so blown away with what God has given us because we have have fixed our hope in Him in spite of everything that has come along. But I'll tell you, the devil has schemes against you. He knows your weaknesses. He's been around you, followed you your whole life. That's not to make us afraid, but it is to make us aware. It's to make us, what did Peter say? I'm trying to remember the language that he used. Be on your guard, be aware, be alert. Okay? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. How many times do we react to something in life and we're reacting against the people involved? God help us to see past that. Folks, the devil has control of so much in this world, and even in the body of Christ, people have weaknesses. And there's going to be things that you and I are going to have to be patient with one another about. But here's the deal, and this is something we've said so many times. I don't care what, even if the devil uses somebody to do something that is hurtful to you in some fashion, that is never, ever, ever, ever an excuse for you to have a bad spirit. In fact, the Lord might have allowed that to expose that need in you so you'll learn how to surrender it to Him. What does the Scripture say if there's somebody who's overtaken in a fault? What do we do? You who are spiritual, now He's not talking about some high-blown picture that we would paint, but somebody that's walking with the Lord and has their spirit right, okay, you go to them with a spirit of condemnation and contempt. No, with a spirit of meekness. And then what does it say? Consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. There's always that sense, I have to guard my own spirit, even in a circumstance where I'm trying to help somebody who really maybe has something wrong. But my motive is not to come down and condemn and try to let them know, look what you did, I'm mad at you and I have a right to be mad at you. There's none of that in it. Oh, God just wants to change us into His likeness. Are we willing? See, yeah, that's the kind of circumstance that we'll really find out whether we're going to follow our old nature or His. But yeah, examine yourself. Let's ask God to help us in those kinds of battles. But remember, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We need to see past that. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Anybody here naturally able to handle that? No. You ready to go out and go after them? There's a lot of power. The power of evil, the power of sin is very real. And the nature with which you and I were born that still lives in this flesh is very much a part of that. It's in harmony with that. I need a Savior, folks. I need something supernatural if I'm going to have any help. You can't give me rules to follow. You're going to have to give me a Savior. You're going to have to give me a new heart and a new life that gives me power. You notice he begins this section here with the power of God, His mighty power. Then he comes down to Satan's mighty power. Which one do you want? I want His mighty power. Thank God. And that's the thing. We can be strong. We can be stronger than the devil, not because we are anything, but because we're relying on Him. David found that out, didn't he? And the whole army, two armies found out that God plus a little boy or a young man with a sling and a stone is better than a giant because God is with him. I want God to be with me. I want to experience His strength in situations like I felt this, you know, what I felt earlier in the week. I want to experience His strength in that in a deeper way. How do I get there without having to go through it? You know, I remember a song that I heard, I guess back when I first came here, it was still going around a little bit, and it was, how can we be overcomers unless we overcome? There was a whole movement, I guess. It was all about being overcomers, and it had to do with a certain movement. But the truth, the principle is true. God has called us to be overcomers. And you don't dance around an empty boxing ring with, you know, like Muhammad Ali used to do, and there's nobody in there and claim you're the best in the world. You have no opponent. You never fought. How do we ever acquire the label overcomers if we've never overcome anything? But God is going to send battles your way and mine. And oh, what he's given us to fight. He said, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. That's all God's looking for. Use the armor and stand. He's not looking for you to fix the situation. Not looking for you to save America, as we said recently. Not looking for you to straighten out the person that caused your problem. God wants to straighten you out. And if we will be the kind of person God wants to be, that's going to do more for somebody else if it can happen than anything else. But oh, how hard a lesson that is to learn. It is so contrary to everything with which we were born. So if God keeps putting you in conflict with somebody, you need to understand what's going on. It's not because he hates you. Not because he's mad at you and punishing you. He wants you to learn something. And I tell you, the more we learn, the more he's going to be able to put himself on display, because it'll be him coming out of us and not us, fighting our own battles. Oh, I tell you, we have a God who knows what he's doing, doesn't he? Wouldn't it be good if we just seek him and do what he says and learn to do things his way? That's not an easy thing, is it? Okay? All right, maybe able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, do you believe there's going to be a people in this age, even right down to the end, who will be able to stand? How are they going to do that? Yeah, in the Lord's mighty power and with his armor. It ain't going to be because they got better theology. It's going to be because they got Christ. And he is active in their hearts and lives, and they're doing things his way. Stand firm then with the belt of truth. These are things we're familiar with. I just want to go through it real quickly. But the belt of truth, the devil is going to come at you with every lie that you are naturally inclined to believe. It might be a lie about yourself. I'm bad. I'll never amount to anything. Or, you name it. Every one of you know that served the Lord, you know what I'm talking about. There's going to be some lie that is going to put the focus on you as the reason why this is happening. God doesn't care about you. You're bad. You're getting what you deserve. Did Jehoshaphat get what he deserved? He didn't do anything except live and serve God, and the Lord allowed a great battle to come against him. Did Job go after what happened to him? Was God punishing him? See, all the things that the devil tried to get him to do, and through his friends who didn't have a clue what was really going on, the devil is going to come with every reasoning that he can. Folks, we need truth. We need a knowledge of what is really true, and that's going to come from Jesus, who is the truth. The way, the truth, and the life. Man, if it didn't come out of the heart of Jesus, don't you bank your heart on it. Don't you bank your life on it. Don't you go by it. We're going to need to know what is true and stick with it when it doesn't look like it, when it doesn't feel like it. I need the truth. It's the truth that's going to set me free and nothing else. Okay? The breastplate of righteousness. What is it that makes you right with God? Only the blood of Jesus. Only what he has done. But when the devil comes at you, does he ever accuse you and say, you've done wrong, therefore you're being punished? Anybody ever heard that one? In some form? We're going to have to understand what it is that makes us right with God. Folks, even if there is something wrong, Do we not have the right to confess it and believe in Him and trust in Him? Does not the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse us from all unrighteousness? God would be unjust not to forgive us because justice was already served. Everything wrong with you and me, He already took to the cross and into that grave, and it's dead and gone. Man, we need to be able to stand before the devil and realize, I am right with God. And there ain't nothing you can do to change that because I'm not depending on anything in me. There's no good thing. I recognize that. You can talk about all the bad stuff you want to. Praise God, my righteousness comes from Him. Now, I'll say very quickly, that is not a license to sin as some people think, because it's all taken care of. Folks, if you have the righteousness of God, if God's grace has worked in your heart, that's a grace that teaches you to live a godly life. It not only teaches you to do it, it makes it possible for you to do it, and us. So don't anybody misconstrue what that righteousness is. It's not just a simple legal declaration that turns you loose to do as you please. Okay? The breastplate of righteousness, your feet fitted with a readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. As Paul said, that when we come to Him by faith in what Jesus did, we come to a state of peace with God. Don't ever let the devil assault that position. He will try to drive a wedge between you and God in your mind. He'll accuse Him of what God's responsible for this. God doesn't send it. He does allow it. He allows it for a loving purpose, but God is not punishing. He's not sending something on you to destroy you, to hurt you. I am at peace with Him. I have a place to stand that is sure. And it's not based on, again, on anything I did. The shield of faith. See, it's wonderful to know what's true. It's another thing to sort of entertain and allow things to hit. Wait a minute, devil. There's an active part that I take in repelling your lies, repelling every attack that you would make upon my mind. I believe God. And it's like the faith of Abraham, where I have to go against everything that I feel, everything that I see. But I know that God is true. It's taking that belt of truth and lifting it up against whatever the devil would throw. I actively believe God. And I don't need to see it or feel it to know that it's true, but I'm going to stand anyway. Folks, the devil understands that, do we? May God help us, every single one. Yeah, I needed that this week. Did you? Yeah. All right. The helmet of salvation. Is that the next one? The helmet of salvation. I guess you could emphasize a lot of things, but one thing that shows to me is that my entire way of looking at life, at myself, at God, at the world, needs to be shaped by the concept of salvation. That I am in myself a hopeless, helpless sinner. I deserve nothing. My only hope of escaping this world and having any relationship with God is that He's going to have to do it. I need a Savior. I can't be like Peter and say, no, Jesus, I'll never do that. Peter was sincere when he said that, but he didn't know. He didn't have the power to do that. I need a Savior. I need somebody who can come in and rescue me from what I do not have the power to do. Folks, that's an entire way of thinking about everything. Does that govern your thoughts? Do you know every moment of every day you need a Savior? Not just in some broad general sense, but I mean every day. I need a measure of salvation ministered to me every single day. And I need it when I'm in those circumstances, when I'm in the battle, when the evil day comes, especially I need it. We can sit here maybe and rejoice in the Lord and feel good. But I'll tell you, we need this when the evil day comes. and you can't see anything but darkness, and you can't feel anything but darkness, is this still real? See, if we're going to be able to stand in this hour, these are things we need to know, and the Lord's going to be faithful to teach us. Thank God. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How many times have we talked about that? The one thing the devil fears is a Christian who not only believes the Word of God, it forms such a conviction in their hearts that they stand and they quote it and they say, this is what I'm going by, devil. You can say what you want, but I know what God says. And I'll tell you something about that. I was thinking about this even this morning. You know, we talk about how preaching needs to have the anointing upon it. It needs to be not just the words of a human being. There needs to be life in it. God's life needs to literally flow in the same sense that it did when he said, let there be light. May not be as powerful now, but there needs to be, in other words, there needs to be God's life in it. I'll tell you, when a Christian stands again in a time of darkness, in a day of evil, and the devil is throwing everything he can at that person, and we stand and we say, it is written, we're not just quoting proof texts. I'll tell you, God gets in that. There is life. Every single Christian can speak the word of God and God be in it. You think the devil feels that? He doesn't care about your theology. He cares about your Christ. He can't stand that. And that's one way the word needs to become flesh, because it became flesh perfectly in him, didn't it? But God wants the word to become flesh in us, and that's part of the process of this happening. God's got us in school, folks. And part of that school is that we're going to have things, we're going to have evil days. You will have them. It's part of your training as a child of God. God knows about it. He permits it. He uses it for a purpose. But don't ever forget that everything you and I need to experience victory in those situations, he gives us. He gives us. And he doesn't give it because we deserve it. Doesn't give it to us because we've measured up and kept the rules. He gives it to us because he loves us and we need it. What are we doing with it? Are we learning how to use that, or are we just fighting in our own strength and fighting our own battles? Now it's getting quiet. Is this hitting any targets? I'm thankful. We need the Lord, don't we? I just thought of a scripture this morning, and I'll quickly look at it in Isaiah chapter 54. Lot in that, but anyway, the Lord is encouraging his people. He's looking forward to our day through the lips of Isaiah and talking about how, let's see, you will have nothing to fear, the middle of 14, terror will be far removed, it will not come near you. If anyone does attack you, it will not be my doing. Whoever attacks you will just surrender to you. I read that this morning. I said, wait a minute, that sounds crazy. I just said the Lord allows the devil to attack. And then here it says, if anybody does attack you, it won't be me. But what he's saying there is, I'm not the one behind the attack. I may allow it for a loving purpose, but I'm not attacking you. Don't ever let the devil tell you, the Lord's attacking you. The Lord doesn't attack his children. He allows the devil to attack us and then helps us to fight because it's his battle. It's his battle. So don't get confused by that verse, like I did for a moment. Then he says, see, it is I who created the blacksmith. This is the Lord talking. Who fans the coals into flame and forges a weapon fit for its work. And it is I who have created the destroyer to wreak havoc. I'll tell you, God's on the throne, isn't he? He has a purpose that he's working out. But what a promise follows. No weapon forged against you will prevail. And you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. You know, we need to lean on that and realize that he means you. He means you right where you're at with all of your weaknesses, all of your battles, wherever we're at in our Christian journey. He's the one who's marked out the journey for us, like it says in Hebrews chapter 12. He is the one who's marked out our path, and he knows when we need a battle. He knows when we need a rest. When we're in a battle, he wants us to immediately turn to him and not allow the devil to disconnect us from our help, but to lay hold of it and to believe in it with all of our heart and to stand there and to realize that when we do that, God is with us. The devil is going to have to give up sooner or later. The battle is the Lord's, folks, and he wants us to learn to fight, because there are going to be evil days, like I say, on every level. There's an evil day coming on this planet that we haven't seen the like of. God is going to have a people that are ready. What is it that'll make us ready? Learning to fight the battles he sends as we go. Resting in him, not being dismayed because things aren't rosy, not letting the devil interpret every negative thing in a negative way that disconnects us from God, but seeing his loving hand to lift us up and give us the strength to stand in the middle of it. I tell you, God is on the throne. He is for his own. He has given us everything we could possibly need to stand. We just need to pick it up and use it and learn, and he will be with us all the way to the end. Praise God.